Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith. What's up?
Oh, you know, just, you know, Academy Award fever has hit us with full force.
Yes.
The Academy Award nominations came out a couple days ago, and we will be reviewing those in just a moment. How's everything else going?
Pretty good. I had some back-to-back Elton John concerts this week.
Things are great.
Yeah, just two nights at Elton.
Just two.
I'd like to spend tonight with Elton too. I'd just like to keep all the Elton concerts going.
You guys can check out Katie's coverage of Elton's two different shows on Billboard.com. I have yet to see Elton John live.
It's worth it.
Wow.
And he has a million hits, so it's just nonstop.
Yeah. And he does the hits.
Yes, he does.
He does not shy away from those hits.
He does not.
Well, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with stars from the world of pop. On this week's show, we'll discuss the nominees for the Academy Awards, including some very big pop stars landing their first nods, our favorite movie musicals, an update on the Grease Live TV special, and the biggest musical soundtrack ever on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. Plus, we've got an interview with the one and only Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah, man. Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John.
She's on the Pop Shop.
It makes sense. You know, the week where we're talking about musicals.
Of course.
One of the stars of the arguably most popular and most successful movie musicals of all time, Grease, is on the show. The pop legend, who has notched 15 top 10 singles on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, including 5 number ones, called into the podcast to talk about her thoughts on Grease, her residency show in Las Vegas at the Flamingo, and much more. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. First up, the Academy Award nominations are out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the Kool-Aid Man voice coming back. The 88th Oscars nominations. It's weird to say those words back to back.
Yeah, you can say Oscar. We're not doing an official headline here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the press release said, but it just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Oscars nominations were announced on Thursday, January 14th, and The Revenant garnered the most nominations with 12, including Best Picture. I have not seen The Revenant.
Neither have I.
It looks dark.
Yes, it does, and I've heard mixed things about it.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There's your mini review.
Obviously, the Academy likes it, though.
In the music categories, and there are two, John Williams racked up another Oscar nomination for his score for Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I believe this is his 80 millionth nomination.
Yeah, that
Katie?
Is correct. Yep, I can confirm that, Keith.
You have a stat, I believe, about this.
Yeah, he actually, this is his 45th nomination for scoring, his 50th nomination overall, because he also got 5 original song nominations previously.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and he's actually the living person with the most Academy Award nominations. So 50 is currently the record for a living human being.
I want to know which films of John Williams he has not gotten an Academy Award nomination
for. Yeah, I bet that is the minority of John Williams' scored films.
I wonder if someone should do some math and determine of the films, like, you know, films released in movie theaters that John Williams has worked on, what percentage of them have earned Academy Award nominations for him? Like, what's his batting average?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is it like 80%, 75%?
I feel like every kid who was ever in a marching band played John Williams music at some point. We did a whole halftime show of it with our band.
Were you in the band?
I was in the band.
Wow. Learn something new every week about Katie. In the same category, Thomas Newman tallies his 13th nomination for his score for Bridge of Spies. Newman is the cousin of Randy Newman. And Randy, of course, has been nominated 20 times crazily enough. He's actually won, though. Thomas, unfortunately, has yet to win an Academy Award.
But he does have, it's his 13th, as you said. And the Newman family in general, they have more nominations than just Thomas and Randy.
There are other Newmans?
Yeah, there's an Alfred, and there's a Lionel, and there's an Emil, there's a David, and the entire family has 89 nominations, more than any other family.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd think, like, I don't know.
Take that, the Barrymore Coppolas, family.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Take that, Angelica, and whoever Angelica's father's name is.
John Huston.
John Huston. Oh, God. I'm so embarrassed. You know, just John Huston. Well, maybe this will be Thomas's year. Perhaps. I don't know.
He's hoping so for the next family reunion.
Yeah, exactly. So he can brag. They all probably bring their awards and, like, you know, polish them together. Moving on to the Best Original Song category, which honors the best songs written specifically for a motion picture. There are three big pop stars with multiple top 10 Hot 100 hit singles under their belt, and they all get their first nominations this year. The Weeknd for Earned It from 50 Shades of Grey. We can now say that 50 Shades of Grey,
Oscar-nominated movie.
The Oscar-nominated.
Like you all knew when you watched it.
You knew that was, oh, this is Oscar bait.
Headed straight to the Kodak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, whatever that theater's called now. It's not actually. The Dolby.
The Dolby
Headed
Theater.
Headed straight to the Dolby.
Lady Gaga for Till It Happens to You from the documentary film The Hunting Ground. Mm-hmm. And Sam Smith for Writings on the Wall from Spectre. Also up in this category is Manta Ray from Race and Extinction and Simple Song number 3 from Youth. Fun fact, Lady Gaga was nominated alongside the famed songwriter Diane Warren, and because they co-wrote the song together. It is Diane's 8th nomination. She actually has yet to win an Academy Award, so like Thomas Newman, maybe this will be their year.
They're the Susan Lucci's of the music categories at the Oscars.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good company that Lady Gaga keeps. Diane Warren has written a bajillion hit singles.
Yeah.
This could be the year.
Yeah.
Are there any surprises in this category for you, Katie?
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter, the first thing that they noticed was that See You Again from Furious 7 was not nominated.
It seems kind of like a big glaring omission.
It's interesting. So that's from Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth, and a huge, massive number one hit last year for weeks and weeks and weeks. And also backs a really pivotal scene in the movie, so it, you know, has the cinematic aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's an interesting omission.
I would be interested in seeing these five nominated songs and where they fit in each of their respective films, and if they perhaps better moved the story along or better, you know, did whatever you're supposed to do as a Best Original Song nominee versus See You Again.
If I had made it through 50 Shades of Grey, Keith, I would let you know.
Oh, you didn't make it through it.
I did not. I did see the scene that has Ellie Goulding's Love Me Like You Do, though.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because that was eligible to be nominated.
And it's a very sultry scene.
Oh. I'm going to assume most scenes in this film are sultry.
Yeah, that's probably true. So Earned It probably did a later sultry scene in the film.
By the way, the Academy Awards will air on February 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern on ABC. It'll be live on both coasts.
Yes.
So we can tune in on 4 p.m. If you're on the West Coast. And keeping the discussion in the world of movies and music, we thought it would be fun to talk about some of our favorite movie musicals.
Yes.
We've each come up with three of our favorites in no particular order. And Katie, would you like to share with the class?
You should have said, be my guest.
Be my guest.
Because my first choice is Beauty and the Beast. Which is, you know, it's a Disney movie musical.
It's a tale as old as time.
It is a tale as old as time. And the music is just lovely in that movie. Actually, just right from the very beginning, my favorite song in the whole movie is when Belle comes out and she's singing the entire scene with
her.
Yeah, and it's just Little Town, full of little people. That whole song, I love that song. And it also just reminds me of like any sort of classic Broadway musical, those scenes where you like wind through and various characters chime in, little pieces of the song. Yeah, I love that song. So I think it just has magical music and is a great musical in addition to being a Disney treasure.
You know, it was also the first animated film to be nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
Much deserved.
Yeah.
That is a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did not win.
Oh.
but it was the first, I believe it was, it made history when it was the first animated film to be nominated for Best Picture.
A lot of people were surprised Inside Out wasn't in the Best Picture nominees this year, actually.
Yeah, I think it had a really good shot.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's hard with animated films in general for some reason. But Inside Out is amazing. If you haven't seen it, watch it. You'll probably cry. Just
so
saying.
Keith, what's your first choice?
My first choice is a movie we've already mentioned. Grease.
You're not just pandering to Olivia Newton-John, are you?
Maybe. Just a little.
She's worth pandering to.
I mean, you know, you've got Sandy, you've got Danny, you've got Rizzo, you've got Kanicki. You've got a lot of very catchy names of people.
Great names.
You know, never mind that the entire cast are playing high schoolers, even though they're all in their 20s and beyond. You know, Stockard Channing was like 34 and she was playing a high schooler. Ignore how the T-Birds are the least threatening gang ever put
this
on
side
film.
Of West Side Story. Yeah.
The T-Birds are going to have their way tonight. Overlook how we're supposed to praise Sandy's character from going from good girl to slinky slut, as if that's a really good thing. What makes Grease amazing is the music, the performances, and the cast, and just the sheer amount of fun that everyone is having in the movie, and also the amount of fun that you have when you watch it.
Yeah.
It's just such a fun movie. Just feel good.
Yeah.
Bonus fun fact, it earned an Academy Award nomination for its song Hopelessly Devoted to You, which was one of the few new songs that were written specifically for the movie, as the film, of course, was based on the stage musical of the same name.
Yes.
What's your second pick?
Grease 2.
Really?
No, I'm just joking.
I like Grease 2.
I love Grease 2 as well. I love it.
It's no Grease.
Cool Rider. Amazing. I love it. And Michelle Pfeiffer is incredible in it. But it's not Grease 2.
O-O-L-R-I-D-E-R.
That's so good.
Oh, yeah.
My actual second choice, I wanted to pick something a little more modern, and I realized that for me, like, my modern musical is Pitch Perfect.
It's a good one.
I love it. I could watch it every single day for the rest of my life.
Really? Every single day? Kind of.
And I almost do, as you can ask my husband. Every time somebody comes over to my house and I find out that they have not seen it yet, I immediately fire it up.
Wow.
Like, every time.
You're one of those people.
I'm one of those. But they all appreciate it, I think. At least that's what they tell me at the time. But it's really funny. The music scenes are amazing. All the characters are great. And I think we have a shared favorite scene in that movie. The riff-off is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, the greatest part. And even if you have to kind of suspend disbelief that somebody could just come up with these intricate a cappella arrangements on the spot, just, you know, don't worry about that and just watch it and have fun. And it's incredible.
Well, there you go. My second pick is actually The Sound of Music, because, you know, what's better than a musical about a nun who leaves the convent to be the governess for a large family in Austria in the shadow of the Third Reich beginning to grow over Europe?
What's better?
I know. Perhaps the same movie, but filled with amazing songs like My Favorite Things, 16 Going on 17, So Long, Farewell, Do Re Mi, Climb Every Mountain, and of course the title track. I think when I saw The Sound of Music for the first time, it might have been in college. I think I watched it for a film class. I know, believe it or not, the first time I saw it was in college. And I didn't realize that the songs in the movie, like, originated with The Sound of Music.
You knew the songs already.
I knew the songs
already. You
just didn't
know where they came from.
I already knew Do Re Mi.
Yeah.
Do, a deer, a female. I'm like, that isn't just like a nursery rhyme?
Exactly.
Like, no, it was written for the flippin' Sound of Music. So that's just incredible. And so it's just wonderful. And every year, me and a group of friends go to the Sound of Music sing-along at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles.
Still have
here.
Not been to that.
This
I'm
year's
inviting myself.
You can come along. June 24th at the Hollywood Bowl. It's always sold out and it's always so much fun. I'll be there with bells on or perhaps a habit. also, fun fact, the soundtrack to The Sound of Music is the second biggest album ever on the Billboard 200 chart.
Oh, wow.
Since 1963.
Wow.
Yeah, last year we did a big greatest of all time package on Billboard.com where we recapped the biggest songs and artists on the Hot 100 and the Billboard 200. And The Sound of Music was the number two biggest album since 1963. The number one album, Adele's 21.
Meaning, if we were to do this all over again, Adele's 25 would probably get into the contention somewhere. That's
actually
really interesting.
Check back in a few years.
Yes.
Check back in a few years.
We revisit.
What is your third pick?
Yes, my final choice, and I know we weren't supposed to rank, but this is my absolute favorite, is Funny Girl. I am obsessed with Funny Girl.
Which I've never seen.
Oh, which you need to see. Barbra Streisand is incredible in
it. She's like butter.
She's like butter. And it's like, she's hilarious in it. She's, you know, playing this comedian type who, you know, is trying to be a performer of any kind. She's just trying to be, she's a showgirl in New York, and she's just trying to, like, get on stage because she just has an amazing presence. And the most incredible scene, actually, there's two. First is when she originally meets the character Nikki Arnstein, played by Omar Sharif, the late, great Omar Sharif. And their chemistry and their electricity is just incredible, and you feel it instantly. And he's just, like, the most handsome man in the universe when you see him for the first time.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the signature song is Don't Rain on My Parade. And that scene is awesome. She's rushing through the streets of New York. She's going through train stations, going all the way to the water to get to a boat, to take a boat to find her love in London. And they're doing these sweeping aerial shots as she's singing. And it's just epic. It's such a good musical.
She's on a boat going to London?
Oh, yeah. She takes a boat. She chases after him in a boat.
So she gets on a boat.
She ditches the show that she's in. She's in a traveling show at the time. He goes to London, and she follows him by boat.
Wow, and she's just singing this song the entire time.
No, she's singing it all the way to the boat.
Okay. It's like, this is one really long song. Well, my third and final pick is The Wizard of Oz. There's a reason why this movie is so beloved since its release in 1939. And I think, I mean, the whole movie is just wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ruby Slippers, Judy Garland, you know, the Wicked Witch. I mean, just everything is, every scene is just so iconic.
Yeah.
And so memorable. And its songs have risen to become, like, pop culture catchphrases.
Yeah.
You know, Over the Rainbow. We're off to see the wizard. There's no place like home. Oh, if I only had a brain. Like, things like that, like, we say, we just use in casual conversation, and we all have this shared definition, this shared emotion behind it, because not just that we've seen the movie, because we've all seen bad movies, but you see this great movie, and it makes this impression on you, and it just holds on.
Yep.
So it's the mark of a very, very good film that continues to endure, and, you know, it's on TV almost every year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like The Sound of Music in Greece, where you always see him on TV.
Yep.
Well,
good choices.
Yeah, I think those are good quality choices. I speaking of movie musicals, I want to get an update on Grease Live, which is coming up on Fox at the end of the month. It's the latest in a string of live musicals that are being staged on TV. I think the one that started the trend was The Sound of Music a few years ago. And then since then, we've had Peter Pan, which didn't do incredibly well.
Mm.
And you actually forgot that Peter Pan existed.
Oh, no, I watched it. I remember.
Oh no, I watched it.
I've been trying to forget,
Then after Peter Pan, it was like Peter Pan and something, and then The Wiz.
Oh, I don't think there was anything in between. I think it was Sound of Music, Peter Pan, The Wiz.
Then The Wiz, okay.
Yep.
And then last year, and these were all on NBC, and then last year Fox announced that they were going to get into the game.
Oh, yeah.
What did Fox tell us, Katie?
Well, Grease Live, which is coming up really shortly, January 31st.
Yeah, like a week or so.
Yeah, and a full year ago, back in January, February of last year, we learned some of the casting news. It's great casting. It's Julianne Hough as Sandy. It's Aaron Tveit as Danny, who's a Broadway star, who will know so much better after seeing this.
I mean, they're both super dreamy. They're both, I mean,
so talented.
So talented.
It's incredible casting.
They can sing.
I love
it. They can dance. Yeah.
Yeah. And then some Billboard favorites are there as well. Carly Rae Jepsen as Frenchie. Vanessa Hudgens as Rizzo. Kiki Palmer as Marty. And then we also have all these pop stars involved in other ways. Jessie J is going to be singing Grease is the Word to start out the show.
Wow.
Boys to Men are going to be the teen angels to replace Frankie Avalon from the movie. And DNCE is going to be the school band that plays the hand jive during the dance contest.
Like the stand-ins for Sha-na-na.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's quite the casting. We'll
Seriously.
See how it all comes together. Oh, and finally, it's the first one of all these live TV musicals that will have a live audience there.
I wonder how they're going to, like, I mean, I wonder how that's going to work.
I think it's going to be good. It's going to be like a Broadway play where there's audience reaction, right?
What day is the 31st? Is that like a Monday?
It's a Sunday, I think.
Oh my God, I would love to be in the audience.
Well, then let's make that happen.
That would be so
cool. We can report back.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
just to see like a live production like moving during a commercial break and trying to oh my god, move the scenery.
And I honestly think with the NBC ones that was something that was missing, was kind of that feedback. It all seemed very static.
Yeah.
Like and so that feedback I think will help a lot.
Yeah. Or also just drown out characters and stuff.
We'll see.
We'll see. It's an experiment.
To be determined.
Well, speaking of Grease, we spoke to the one and only star of Grease, the movie, Olivia Newton-John. It is time for our interview with the pop diva. She called in recently and spoke to me. I'm not sure if she was in Vegas or she might have been from home, but she couldn't have been more lovely. It was super exciting for me to talk to her. I mean, we've all listened to her music. I think through Grease, through Physical, through Xanadu, through, I Honestly Love You, when she was a country star in the 70s, up through when she was a pop star in the 80s.
Yeah.
She was lovely. And we talked about Grease, why it endures, and also her thoughts on the new Fox staging of it. Talked about how she was actually asked to be part of the cast of Grease Live. So you'll find out what she had to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about her residency in Vegas at the Flamingo Hotel, where you can catch her throughout the year. She has dates lined up. It's a residency that's been going strong for a little while. It's nothing but divas in Vegas.
Nothing but divas.
Brittany, J-Lo, Olivia. I want one day to have them all just like hang out together and just like, we're going to hang out.
Oh, I really hope they do.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God, I really hope.
What a photo op. Well, anyway, here's our interview with Olivia Newton-John. Let's get physical, physical. I wanna get physical. Let's get into physical. Welcome, Olivia Newton-John, to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you. Great. How are you doing?
I am doing super awesome now that I'm speaking to you. I mean, this is awesome. How is your new year going so far?
My new year was lovely. I did a show in Las Vegas that night at the Flamingo, and then I rushed home to be home for midnight to be with my husband and my dog and cat, and we had a really quiet one in front of the fire, and it was perfect.
You were working on New Year's Eve and I think New Year's Day, and then like January 2nd too. You had back-to-back shows, I think, right?
I did. Yeah, you do five in a row in Las Vegas, and that was one of the nights. It was a fun night.
Wow. Did you do something special for the New Year's show? Like, did you add a special song to the set list or anything special for that evening?
No, not really. I did my show and just welcomed and wished everyone Happy New Year. And no, I didn't do anything different. The Christmas shows I did. Yeah.
Every show is special. You don't need to add something else. Every single one of them is special.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Well, it wasn't close to midnight. Otherwise, I would have done something. But I kind of think it's bad luck to do it unless it's at the time. So I didn't do it.
I was going to ask because I was asking one of your folks that work with you. I said, if Olivia is in L.A., she can come by the office and say hi. And they're like, she doesn't live in L.A. I'm like, she must live in Vegas. So do you live in Vegas full time now because of the show?
No, we don't. We live in Vegas when I'm working there. And we have a house that we live in, which is kind of out of the city, which is nice. It's kind of feels like another home. And then we live outside of L.A., about 2 hours outside of L.A.
Aha, okay. Well, what's the best part of doing the show in Vegas? Because it's been going on now since, I want to say, 2014, I believe, right? It's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, it's my second year. I love the fact that I am in one place. It's consistent. The sound is consistent. The lights are consistent. The room is a great room at the Flamingo. I love my band. And the show is kind of, set, and you're not moving around. You're in the same bed every night. You get up and you have, a routine, which is, my life hasn't really been like that. This is probably the most routine I've had since I was at school.
Yeah. That's what I think when I've talked to other folks that have residencies in Vegas, that is such a draw for them because, I've talked to J-Lo about her show and she says, you can do so much more when you're stationary. You can always count on the show being the same. You don't have all those things you can't account for when you move from show to show and city to city, that what if the bus breaks down? What if the lights don't work? Or the sound is off? It's going to be kind of the same show every night, and then that gives you a little bit more freedom to do things differently if you want and change up the show, as the shows go on, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been wonderful having that consistency because that, as you just explain that J-Lo told you, it's that that life on the road is fun, but it's tiring, and it's inconsistent. Yeah. So to have the consistency is wonderful.
Is it difficult for you to figure out which songs to do in the show, because you have so many hit songs? You've had nearly 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And, you know, it must be difficult for you to sit there and look at your songs and go, oh, hey, which ones do I do? It's like a Sophie's Choice, you know, when you're trying to put together the set list. You know, how difficult was it for you to come up with the songs that you do in the show?
You know, it's a wonderful problem to have, and one that I never thought I would have. So, you know, I kind of went by what was the most popular, which ones sold the most, which ones people mentioned to me the most. And because the show's only 90 minutes, I can't do them all, which I'm very grateful to say. So
yeah.
I do medleys of some of them, and the show's has to be pretty structured, because you have lights and everything that are on a certain set form. So we don't change it out too much. Well, I'll be changing it a little bit for this year.
Ooh.
Putting a few more songs in, mainly for the fans that come back. I have a bunch of repeat customers who come often to my show, so they will notice when I put a few new songs in. Most of the people are coming for the first time, so
right.
I do change things out a little bit, and that's kind of fun for the band and for me. But basically, there's a set lot of songs that I think the public expect to hear, so I like to do what they expect to hear.
Yeah.
And because I remember as a young girl going to see a famous artist who will remain nameless, and she didn't do the songs, she didn't do her hits, and I remember being terribly disappointed and thinking, if I'm ever lucky enough to make it successfully, I must remember to do the songs that people want to hear. So I kind of kept that in my mind always.
It's always so difficult when, you know, you have, you know, so many hits that people expect you to play, and at the same time you want to balance that with your desire to play, you know, perhaps some songs that are less familiar or perhaps new material that you want to play. So it's always a balancing act. And a friend of mine saw your show last year and actually got to meet you as well. And he said that some of his favorite moments in the show was when you did Sam, because he felt it was a really intimate performance, and it really struck him as a very special moment in the show. Are you still doing Sam?
Thank you. Yes,
I am.
Version?
Okay.
I didn't do it for a couple of weeks because I had a cold, but I do do it. Yeah, it's a beautiful song and one of my favorites.
He was, I would have to say, a little sad that you didn't play Twist of Fate.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to put that back in.
Amazing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tell him he has to come back.
All is right in the world now.
Okay. It's gotta be a strange twist
of fate, telling me that heaven can wait. You know, do you have time while you're in Vegas to see other shows while you're there and take in other shows like Britney and Jennifer and Celine and that sort of thing? Or are you pretty much, you know, working and then you get out of town?
Yeah, the problem is that we're on at the same time.
Yeah.
I have seen Celine at a different time. I haven't seen Britney this time. And Jennifer, I haven't had a chance at all because we're on the same time so far.
Well, she's just about to get started, so you haven't missed her yet, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, she was on at New Year when I was there last New Year's, I think it was, the year before. She did a special week or something, and that's what started her coming back. But, no, I haven't had a chance, but I'd love to. And sometimes I'll go in a day early if that means they're on, but very often we're on the same schedule, and usually I want to get home.
Exactly. You had a long day at work. You want to go home.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, during the show, which starts back up on January 19th at the Flamingo, there is a medley of songs from Grease, which obviously everyone knows that you have the iconic role of Sandy in the movie. And, you know, they're bringing the show back on Fox later this month as Grease Live, a one-night-only special live event. What do you think of that? That's got to be a pretty crazy thing that they're going to try to take on, to do Grease Live in one night.
Well, it's like doing a live theatrical performance, which they have done a lot. But I think it's going to be wonderful. I think Julianne's going to be a wonderful Sandy. She's gorgeous. She's a good actress, and I haven't heard her singing, but she's an amazing dancer, and I'm sure she's really good. And she's got a really lovely energy about her. So I think she'll be great. I haven't seen the gentleman who's playing Danny, but, you know, they're going to bring their own thing to it. And I know that Kaneki is being played by one of the boys who was in Dancing with the Stars, and he had a really great energy. So I'm excited to see it.
Have the producers reached out to you at all to maybe show up in a special cameo appearance in any way?
Yeah, they did, but I've done that movie. I've done that. Leave it to the young ones.
What is it about the music of Grease that is so enduring? Because so many generations discover it, you know, year after year, and there's something magical about the music that people love. Can you put your finger on it at all?
I think I think you said it. There's something magical, there's something charismatic and fun. I think it's fun and contagious, and something about the 50s that they captured when they wrote this script and wrote the songs. And then, of course, John Farrar, who wrote Hope See Devoted to You and You're the One That I Want, and Barry Gibb wrote Grease is the Word. They contributed a new contemporary feeling, but it suited the times. That kind of brought extra hits to the show, and I think brought it into the times. I think it's just contagious kind of thing, and everyone I think knows somebody who's like one of those characters, or they knew someone like that at school. So it kind of seems to hit a chord with everybody. Yeah.
Well, you know, the song that you mentioned, You're the One That I Want, was a huge number one hit for you on the Billboard Hot 100. It's one of five number one hits for you on the Hot 100 chart. I'm sure you already knew that, of course. But you also had a number one hit last year on the Billboard charts with a collaboration with your daughter on You Have to Believe, which is insane. You had a number one hit with your daughter. That must have been so special to have a number one.
So fantastic. You know, Chloe is so talented and so beautiful, and I'm so excited. She wrote the new verses for it with Day by Day, who produced it, and it was her idea to do it, and I said, yeah, why not? Let's do that, and then it went to number one. So, and my husband's nephew produced and directed the video, so it was a very much a family affair, and it turned out to be really great. Yeah, I'm very proud of her.
Is there hope that maybe you'll still be involved with her music in the future, or was this just kind of like a one-off kind of special thing, or are we going to hear a physical redo from the two of you later at some point?
Well, she's going to do something. I won't say exactly what it is, but she's working on another one with Dave right now, and I won't be involved in that one. It's time for her to do it on her own, which I'm really
absolutely
happy. Yeah.
And the last thing I want to ask you, you know, I know you released a special kind of song for Christmas. I think you put it out through YouTube. It was a special kind of Christmas moment. Is there more future music coming from you that we can talk about that you're working on?
Yes, I've got a project with two of my friends, Beth Nelson Chapman and Amy Sky, both brilliant singer-songwriters in their own right, and we have a project coming out in April. I don't think they want me to mention the title or anything about it right now, but we're just finishing that up. And I'm very excited about that project. It's a really important one to me. And I wanted to mention something else that you said something before that, and now I've forgotten. It's gone right out of my head. The song at Christmas was with my wonderful singer, Steve Rial. He's also my vocal coach and has been for about 12 years and has kept my voice going through all these weeks in Las Vegas. And, you know, people always complain about Vegas throats and all these problems. And I haven't had a problem because I have Stevie to work me out every day. And he's written an album that is really spectacular. And I did one of the songs with him as a duet. And it's called Fulfilled. And if people go to my website, they can find the song. It's very pretty. And he's got an album coming out.
Brilliant. Well, you know, I hope that everyone goes and sees you at the Flamingo starting on January 19th, and you have shows lined up throughout the year. And I look forward to hearing more music from you in April, hopefully.
Thank
soon.
You. Yes. Thank you so much, and nice talking to you.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Xanadu.
Thanks again to the fabulous Olivia Newton-John. So awesome.
I just love that she is as sweet as you would expect her to be.
She was so nice. Mm-hmm. I just, and you know, she was just, it's good when you talk to pop stars and they just, you know, they seem like, you know, sunshine and lollipops, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
You know what time it is now, Katie?
What time is it, Keith?
It's time for the chart stat of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In light of the Academy Award nominations, I thought it'd be fun to do our not-so-famous Quiz Katie segment.
Woohoo! Do, always do, frightening. Do,
always so frightening. Well, here it is. Which of the following Billboard Hot 100 number one singles did not get a nomination for Best Original Song?
Okay.
Folks listening, you can play along. I will read them off. They are I Don't Want to Miss a Thing from Armageddon, The Power of Love from Back to the Future, Gonna Fly Now from Rocky, This Used to Be My Playground from A League of Their Own, and Theme from Shaft from, well, Shaft.
Okay, my eye instantly goes to your girl Madonna.
Uh-huh.
Is that the right answer?
But is this a trick question?
Right, is it? I just can't remember
because
if
a League
that
of their
song
own,
was actually written for A League of Their Own. That's what I'm hung up on. That's why I'm suggesting it could be the one.
Well,
did it get a nomination, Keith?
No.
Ah, I got it. Yeah.
Drat. actually, all these except for Madonna's song got a nomination.
I know she's been, or her songs have been nominated before, but I didn't know about that one specifically, so.
And none of the songs that she has written.
Right, the ones that she performed.
Yes, funny enough, as a Madonna fan, I think it's interesting to note that two songs that she performed, that she originated as a performer, have been nominated and have won.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or Later, I Always Get My Man from Dick Tracy, mm-hmm. won the Academy Award for Stephen Sondheim.
Yep, Stephen Sondheim.
And then You Must Love Me for Evita, mm-hmm. written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, won, and she performed it as well. Songs that we identify with her and movies have not been nominated, like This Used to Be My Playground, or Into the Groove, or Who's That Girl, mm-hmm. or I'll Remember from With Honors. Die Another Day from the movie of the same name.
Yeah.
I really feel like it had a decent shot that year, and yet no.
Ugh. I can only imagine young Keith just waiting for that. At 6 a.m. on Oscar nomination morning.
Someday Madonna will get an Academy Award nomination.
All right, I feel it. I like that.
Do you want a second part of this quiz?
Oh, goodness, sure.
Which one of these four nominees, obviously not Madonna, mm-hmm. which one of the four nominees that are left, which one of them actually won
Ooh.
The Academy Award?
Well, I know it's not I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, because we just talked about the fact that Diane Warren has never won.
And she wrote that. Yeah.
So I'm going to choose something else. I'm going to go Theme from Shaft.
It's correct.
Yes, Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes.
Amazing.
He won the Academy Award that year for Best Original Song for Theme from Shaft.
This is the best Quiz Katie segment that has ever happened.
It actually worked out pretty well.
Yes, it did. It worked in my favor.
Well, there you go. There's our chart set of the week. It's a modified one about the Academy Awards and the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And you know what? I think that's it.
I think that's it too.
This has been lovely.
A nice movie edition. It's all cinematic pop shop.
It's I think that could be an idea. It's a new podcast that we'll do that's just all about movies and music.
I'm down with that. Or we could just talk about it here.
Or we could just talk about it here. Like, well, we don't need to start another
yeah.
one. What song do you want to go out on?
Oh, well, it has to be something from Grease in honor of ONJ.
ONJ.
So let's go with You're the One That I Want.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.
You're the one.